And now it's time to say good morning to Peter Allam from Allam's Attorneys, and talking today about maintenance once again. We've chatted about it a couple of times before, and just to stress how important it is, we're covering the topic again today. And Peter, very, very good morning. Welcome.
Yes, morning on this nice and rainy little day out on our coast.
Very much so.
Anyway, just drive safely. I say to everybody, you know, keep your distance. Mm. You get those maniacs on the road that come and overtake where it's not possible and do all sorts of silly things. If you're in a hurry, slow down. Rather get there late than not get there at all. Anyway, Wayne, yes, today what we're going to chat about is, because I had a query from somebody. Mm-hmm. I had a call from one of our listeners, funny enough.
Okay.
A listener phoned and said, I listened to you on Wild Coast. Thank you, to show that people are listening. Mm-hmm. And said to me that the father of my child, the words that she used was, has ducked and gone back to Britain.
Oh.
You know, can I still get maintenance? Yes. You know, there is indeed a reciprocal enforcement of maintenance, and it is possible to do it. It doesn't disappear because the person leaves the country. So, you know, the Department of Justice has reciprocal enforcements of maintenance orders. There's a specific form that's been filled in. You know, the person as well, if you don't know where the person is, the nice thing is that they will actually look for that person for you as well. So in terms of the Maintenance Court Act, you can go down to the Maintenance Court and they will get a form there that they will ask you the name of the person, full names, place of birth, nationality. In fact, it goes as far as to ask for the description of the person, if you know his height, weight, hair color, everything like that. And then details of journey to reciprocating country. They'll ask you for the date of departure, the port or airport where he left through, airline or shipping company, if he went by boat, the name of the ship, his destination.
Sure.
And of course, you know, if somebody has gone back, like this one, said he's returned to Britain, that was what I was told, the name of any person in the reciprocating country, you know, it might have his mother or his brother or his father, to help in tracing that person and ask you what profession he's in, what did he do when he was here, what did he do before he came out here, and any other things that might help. A photograph, of course, most people have photographs, luckily, so if you're listening out there and you don't have a photograph of your husband, boyfriend, or whatever,
get one.
Make sure that you take one there, because a photograph of him as well will be necessary if he decides to duck. And then, you know, the where there's a court order, you need to make sure you've got the case number, the date of issue. Make sure your arrears are through the court and correctly recorded. You know, don't just say that you were supposed to pay me 100 rand a month. He's only paid for 6 months. What months are outstanding? Oh, I don't know. Make sure with maintenance that you keep a proper record.
Right.
You know, it's very important. A lot of people don't do that. They work on trust. And the next thing, somebody stops paying or disappears. And then that form, part C of it, sets out your details, your name, your relationship with the person being sought. So, yes. It is with the department, it is a specific form, and they can assist you in tracking down that person to do that. So that there was the query that we had from a listener. She did tell me that she does know where he's gone back to. So, you know, there's no problem over there. There very definitely should be hope for her in getting maintenance, because the children are still young, they're still schooling. And of course, what I said to her as well was, make sure that the first thing you do is make contact with him if you are able to.
Yeah.
So that, you know, you can ascertain what his intentions are. You know, why has he left? What are you going to do about the maintenance? It's always better to have that information as well, so that when you lay your complaint at the maintenance court, you've got that. So just generally, then, if we look through the Maintenance Act, yes, maintenance is there. You know, you've got the maintenance courts in almost every town. Let me put it to you that way. You've got maintenance officers, and of course you've got maintenance investigators. That's where this would go to. This would go to the maintenance investigator, and that is the person that is going to assist you in that one. What is a maintenance investigator? They are officers appointed by the Department of Justice. They appoint or designate one or more officers in the department, or appoint in the prescribed or more persons who are there to investigate maintenance matters. You know, they're the type of person, if you say I'm unemployed, the maintenance court has the right to hand it to an investigator to go and check if the person is working. If the person is working, you know, what is he doing? How much is he earning? They have the power, the duty, and the function to go and investigate as an investigator under the Act. And, of course, the minister appoints them. So it's a proper legal appointment. And it's expected that there is at least one maintenance inspector in every court. So, you know, you're not lost. Maintenance courts are there. A lot of people say to me, it's a waste of time to go to the maintenance court. No, it's not a waste of time. I find them very diligent. I find them very helpful. You know, the only time that you find that there's a bit of a problem is where people have been cheeky or out of hand or not cooperated, in my opinion. You know, and you always have the right to employ an attorney to assist you. Attorneys are well respected in that, in the courts, by the different officers, clerks, and all the rest of it. So no reason at all why you shouldn't get by and get your maintenance sorted out. So, you know, that's what you've got there. Maintenance inquiries, you've got to lay the complaint first, and that will be investigated and a form filled in. You fill in a form, you've got your details on it. It's a set form. Use the same form throughout the country. So you can go into any maintenance court and ask for the form to fill in and then take it back, and the complaint will be registered and it will be investigated, and the maintenance officer invariably will assist and say, okay, so how much are you asking for? What's your income and expenditure? The form that you fill in gives you in detail, you know, the costs, how many children you've got. So you get the cost of the person applying, and then you get the number of children. Invariably what happens is that they say two portions for a child, one portion for an adult. So your living boyfriend or partner, your husband, if you've remarried, all of them are taken into account as well. It's not just a case of, oh, my child X needs 10,000 rand a month, I must pay 50% and the other party must pay 50%. It's not like that. It's also not like, oh, he earns 30,000 and I earn 10,000, so I must pay a third and he must pay two-thirds. It's assessed properly. It's based on income and expenditure and affordability. So it's not just a case of, you know, I've got some instances lately where people earn like 16,000 rand a month and the maintenance is 18,000. And I say to myself, goodness, how
did that happen?
Are attorneys of all people making people make offers like that? You know, it's just not possible. You need to make sure that it's reasonable. It doesn't help to enter into an agreement, because if you enter into an agreement in a divorce settlement and you offer 18, you're going to have to pay that until it's set aside. You've got to make sure that you can afford it. You've got to make sure that you've got that income. One party that I heard said, oh, but my family are going to help. You know, it's not for your family to help. You have a flare up with your family tomorrow and they don't pay and you're in trouble. And then you've got an order for, say, 18 when you earn 16, so you've got no money for yourself, you're paying the full amount. Whilst I respect that they're looking after their children and want to look after their children or their dependents, it needs to be within reason.
Yeah.
Make sure that you do that. And that's exactly what the maintenance court is there for, to explore what the income and expenditure is and to ensure that a proper order is made. They have the right to call witnesses. They have the right to check on you. They have the right to use the investigators to ascertain whether the information that you're giving is correct. They can call for proof of your banking, proof of your deposits, proof of homes and that you may own, your assets and that type of thing. So the maintenance inquiry is a full inquiry, and they can go into your complete income and expenditure. You know, your basically your liabilities are considered and your assets are considered and taken into account. In the old days, there were instances where people were forced to give up policies, for example. You know, you couldn't get away with the fact, oh, but I've taken out a policy, it's for the education of the child one day. You know, if the child needed money to be raised, that came first. So, you know, you need to be very cautious in that regard. Then the, you know, the next little sort of section that you get there is the order itself. The court will make an order. If you don't defend it, they can make an order in absentia. In other words, if I apply for maintenance against my ex for 10,000 rand a month and she doesn't oppose it and it's properly served, the maintenance court will see no reason not to make that order because it's construed that you can afford it because you haven't opposed it. You know, all they're interested in is to make sure that you've got personal service and that you're aware of the application that there is, and then, you know, the order can be made. You can also get an order by, that's an order by default, so be careful of your default order. Often happens, and then people wake up and say, oh, but, you know, it's nonsensical because I couldn't even afford that amount. I don't earn that much. Well, it's going to be an order, and you're going to pay that. You can't just set it aside. You can be charged criminally for failing to pay your maintenance. But you need to be very, very careful. Orders can be made by consent. Like I said in this one, the person's going to pay more than what his salary is. Family are happy to help. Yes, you do get families that come to the party. I'm not going to say that it's a no-no. You know, a lot of people are proud to have grandkids, proud to have family members, and are prepared to assist to make sure that the child is raised properly, which is very nice. And in this day and age, there is a lot of that. Don't kid yourself. You know, it's not always a fight because people have broken up with each other. But, you know, some people remain the greatest of friends. I mean, I have a lot of friends where, in fact, I have one where the ex-husband and wife traveled together to visit me the other day from up country. And it's so nice to see both of them together, as happy as could be, both remarried, no problems of any nature, brought up their kids brilliantly, paid what's due, not a case of you pay this, I pay that. If the child wanted X or needed X, they paid it. And to me, that always gives me joy when I see couples like that, that, you know, the children are number one in their lives, looked after. It's really satisfying. And that's what it should all be about. You know, you've brought that poor child into the world, look after the child, sort the child out, and keep it going. So, you know, that's what we have over there. And it's very important with maintenance that you do abide by what the order is or what you can contribute. And also very nice from time to time is that you also get a lot of people who don't need to have orders made. You know, between themselves, they settle down, especially where you find children born out of wedlock. You know, yes, people have made a mistake and child has been born, but it's so nice when you see both parents still actively involved with the children and providing for the children. You know, no fighting about it. Anything that's reasonable is done. And that great relationship with kids, with their parents, is also nice to see, which helps. So, you know, I always say to people, you brought someone into the world, look after that person and treasure it as your own. I mean, I, Colleen and myself, always maintain that if our kids ever had made a mistake, we would have looked after whatever came there because it is a part of us. I mean, grandkids are lovely. And, you know, your siblings that make a mistake as well, you know, you've got to look after them. That's unfortunately the way that I look at things. I don't say everybody has to look at things like that. Some people are conned into having children and things like that. But, you know, maintenance is there. It's a very important thing. So the orders are there. The effect of the orders are serious. You need to understand that if you fall into arrears and you've been unemployed, you can't come to court a year later and say, but I've been unemployed, I couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
You need to go when you're unemployed to the court and say, I've lost my job, I cannot pay. They will then suspend the order. There's a duty on them to do that. They can't force you to pay if you don't have the income to pay. But if you don't go to the court and get it set aside, then unfortunately you're in trouble. Or if you think you have a wonderful enough relationship with the other party, make sure that they sign a document with you to say, maintenance suspended due to unemployment. As soon as it's done, I will make up the arrears, or I will continue paying when I find employment. You need to get a proper fixed arrangement in that regard. Because if you don't, and you've been unemployed for 10 months and your maintenance was 3,000 Rand per month, you're going to be responsible for 30,000. They can take you to court. You'll get an order against you for the arrears. They can attach your goods for that. It becomes a proper judgment. They can charge you in the criminal court with failure to pay your maintenance. So, you know, you've got to do that variation or setting aside of the order to avoid payment if you find yourself in a position where you can't afford payment. You also need to also do, you know, and also make sure that you don't just get into a situation where you've lost your job. You found a new job, it's 10,000 Rand a month less or something, just using an example, and now you can't pay 5,000 anymore. You can only pay 3, and you make arrangements with the other side. Make sure you got it in writing. That variation is not a court order.
Yeah.
So the party always has the right to bite you in the backside, like they say, and go back and ask for the arrears. So a variation or a change in the amount paid has to be done through the court, and there must be an order in that regard. Substitution of orders as well is possible, you know, which is there. There's also the discharge of an order. If you become, you know, let's just say that you've got medical reasons and you're boarded and you're not going to have any income, or if you become a pensioner and you've done something naughty at an old age and you're only going to get a SASSA pension, you need to make sure that you get the maintenance order discharged. It does not fall away. So maintenance orders as well, don't think, my wife has moved from East London to Joburg. You've gone out of the area. Your maintenance order will be moved to Johannesburg. They just call for the file and it's reinstated in Johannesburg. So be careful with that as well. Orders are there. Orders are strict. Like in any court of law, if you're not happy with an order that's made against you, you have the right to appeal it. So a maintenance order and other court orders relating to it need to be adhered to. You know, you can as well make sure that what has been made an order, that you keep a copy of it. You know, these days you're inclined to get certain police officers that rock up at the door and say, oh, we warrant for your arrest because you haven't paid. So if you have substituted or changed the order, make sure that you have a copy of it available to show the people what has happened there.
Yeah. So once again, keep it in writing. Any negotiations that might take place, make sure it's all recorded.
Yeah. And then, of course, you know, another thing you need to be careful of is that a lot of people don't realize is that if there's an order against you, the maintenance court has the right to execute against you. They can issue an emoluments attachment order. They don't need your consent for an emoluments attachment order. They don't need your the attachment of the debt can be done by way of a warrant of execution, which they authorize and issue straight away. You know, in instances like that, they normally order because the person's been playing games, the immediate attachment and removal of goods. So be careful. There's proper civil execution available to anyone that is owed maintenance.
Right.
So the Maintenance Act is not a play act. It's a serious act. It's viewed very seriously by the courts. You know, I had somebody the other day that came to me because they felt that they were being not handled correctly at the maintenance court. The complaint I had is, oh, it's a woman and a woman. The magistrate is a woman. The clerk is a woman. The prosecutor is a woman. And they just having a go at me because I'm a male. I said, no, they're not having a go at you. They're doing what's right. You produced a child. You have a duty to pay for that child. So, you know, if you go through the act, the courts and present correctly what you have to present, you will not have a problem. You need to adhere to the law. You need to make sure that you act in accordance with the law.
Right.
So, you know, it works both ways. If you cooperate, you should not have a problem over there. And, yes, what happens if I don't pay and they take me through the criminal court? You can go to jail. You know, I've seen it twice happened. Where the person has been ordered to sick for 3 months and things like that.
Sure.
So it can happen, you know, normally not on your first occasion.
Yeah.
But if you're one of those, you know, the one or two that I've seen is where people have just stopped paying and not cared, done it a second time, done it a third time, and the court has said, no, man, you're just playing with the law. What is on earth is wrong with you? The only way we're going to get you to understand that you need to be serious about that is to imprison you. And I've seen it. I've seen it twice,
sure.
You know, in my career. So be careful. The offences are there. The penalties are there. You know, you need to make sure that you sort it out. Little things that you need to remember as well is that, you know, if you've got a change of address, there's a duty on you to disclose that. And then, of course, don't forget, like we mentioned earlier, you do have that maintenance investigator. And yes, he has a right. You're not protected by the POPI Act to say that he can't delve into your private stuff and that. That's a court order. You're entitled to do that. And yes, the court will be harsh on you. If you haven't paid, the recovery of arrear maintenance is regarded very seriously. And some people are lucky, you know, some people cooperate. You know, some people have been unemployed and not taken the right channels. Yes, the court will listen to you. They will hear the other side. So it's there. And not to forget that everything is recorded in the maintenance court. So, you know, make sure that we act in accordance with your order and that you know what your order means. And that's basically a chat on maintenance itself. A very interesting thing when I was doing my research for today was that I found a summary of reported decisions in point. In other words, for example, you know, maintenance and that type of thing, you know, I think we'll have a chat next week on all the different cases. I mean, there were pages and pages of different things ranging from, you know, the recovery is possible where one party has contributed more than his or her required share. So in other words, if somebody's come along and paid like $10,000 a month thinking that it's reasonable, only to discover that the child only needed 6,000 rand's maintenance, yes. In a decision of Africa versus Africa, the guy went back to court and said, I've overpaid, you know, and it was a case of the wife said, oh, but, you know, he paid of his own accord. And he was able to prove, no, he hadn't. They demanded that amount, and it was in excess of what was necessary for the child.
Which was basically.
You know, there are full reports on all the matters, and we can touch on that next week. We can summarize some, which is very interesting. They all in our law reports and they reported decisions, you know, that we can sort out and discuss.
Well, that would be interesting because that kind of makes it real, you know, real life instances of what actually happened, you know, and how it panned out in the end.
That's right. I mean, you know, it's such interesting, so interesting, not such interesting, but so interesting when you read the different things. You know, who must prove what and that type of thing in a court of law. We'll touch on that next week. We'll go through a number of summaries in that regard.
That'll be very, very interesting.
And they go way back. I mean, you know, they go back to the 50s. I think when I was looking through it, I found matters that go back as far back as 1950, which are still applicable.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't think that the law has changed or that you protect it. You can go back and check everything and sort it out.
Yeah, sure. Interesting stuff. And Peter, just in closing, if somebody wants to reach you, maybe they are in a maintenance dispute of some sort, how do they get in touch with Alam's attorneys?
Yes, they can find us at 6 Sansom Road in Berea, little side street where Pep Stores is, number 6, telephone 043-721-018. The other way of finding us is that if they go on to either Wild Coast FM or Alam's, they will find Facebook page, and that will give you all the contact details for us as well.
Great. Peter, thank you very, very much. Have a great week. Stay dry, and we'll chat again next week, Monday.
to all our listeners and yourself as well. No problem.
Thanks, Peter. Yeah. Cheerio then.
Okay.
That's Peter Allam with today's Legal Eagle Chat. Very, very interesting indeed. And don't forget, it will be on our website later on today as well. Wildcoastradio.co.za. News at 8.